Welcome to the Spark Hire Podcast for the week of January 7th, 2013. The podcast is a weekly look at the top stories from the Spark Hire Job Seeker and Human Resources blogs. It's Nicole here, your content editor for Spark Hire, and I'm with Patrick, the marketing assistant.
Hey, how's it going?
So, we talked about Happy New Year last year.
Right.
Well, last...
Well, technically we did.
Yeah, last podcast, but Happy New Year again.
Yes.
And why don't we start off this new year with some great HR topics that we had on the Human Resource blog.
Let's do it.
So, speaking of New Year's resolutions, mm-hmm. let's take a look at the three New Year's resolutions that you can have with video interviews.
Okay.
So, the first one is to collaborate.
Yeah, collaborate with video interviews.
That's kind of what's best about video interviews, I think, is... You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to get everybody together or at least another person. Maybe you want to have them sit in on the interview, but, you know, your schedules don't work. With video interviews and at least in the screening process, obviously you want to get them to come in for an in-person interview eventually. But
right.
the screening, you can record that video interview and share it with all the members of your team that have a say in who you're going to hire.
Right, and that's in reference to a live interview, right?
Yeah, and also, I mean, with the one-way video interviews, obviously you can share those, but...
Sure, you can share those too. And
definitely with the video...
In that particular instance, you were talking about just the live interview.
Yeah, and, you know, that's what's so great about it is you can send it, share it.
Exactly. And but then, of course, the one-way, I mean, you and your coworkers can gather around and watch these pre-recorded responses that candidates make to your questions, which... There's some clear benefits there as well.
Definitely. And, you know, obviously, maybe a New Year's resolution is to collaborate more. You can do it with video interviews.
Right.
Another thing you can do and start working towards for the new year are asking the right questions. Really important in a video or in a video interview or just regular interview. Besides, you know, it's just a great thing to know what you want out of candidate and know what questions to ask to get those answers that mm-hmm. you need.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, knowing the position will help get to those questions, but also taking advantage of the benefits of the video interview will help you shape your questions as well.
Certainly.
Because there's things you're getting out of the video interview that you're not in, say, a phone interview, of course.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, take stock of what the job entails and make sure you're asking the right questions to get that information that you need in order to make a good decision.
Sure.
Last, make sure that you start replacing phone interviews with one-way video interviews.
Yeah, really. No more wasting time on candidates that really aren't suitable for your position. And you discover this during a regular phone interview, but due to common courtesy or anything like that, you're not necessarily going to be rude and hang up immediately after you discover this. But the best thing about having a video interview with those pre-recorded responses is that if you're in the first response to a candidate's question, watching it and realizing they're not the right fit, then you're just going to move on to another candidate. You're not going to keep watching their responses.
Right. Not going to waste any more time. And I've said this statistic so many times, and we've used the statistic on the Human Resource blog.
Say it again, though. I want
Let's
to hear
do it again, right? So an average phone screen takes about 30 minutes. Mm. Patrick was just saying, you know, more chances than not you're going to stay on that phone even when you realize they're not the right candidate.
Yeah.
Well, with video interviews or one-way video interviews, you can conduct 10 one-way video interviews in the same amount of time it takes you to do one, which, you know, when you think about it, that's just awesome. How much time you're going to waste on phone interviews. You can save time with video interviews and get through a ton more candidates.
Yeah, and have a candidate in your open position a lot faster, which is exactly what you want.
Yeah, so why not replace those old-school phone interviews with video interviews?
Do it.
Definitely think about it, especially for the new year.
Yes, it's a new year.
So, moving on to our last HR topic from last week, how to manage an underperformer.
Yeah, you know, as the year goes on, it's understandable how some employees can get lazy and tired, not giving, bringing their A game, giving 100%, however you want to describe it.
Yeah.
Employees kind of lose their luster.
It's definitely important for you to, A, realize it right away, and B, you need to understand if this is an underperformer who once performed really well,
right.
or if they've always been an underperformer.
They've always been an underperformer.
And either way, there's things you can do to kind of, you know, get to the bottom of it and kind of light a fire under them, so to speak.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of comes down to being a good employer.
Mm-hmm.
The article kind of paints a scenario where you can, you know, some employers or managers will see an underperformer and they won't deal with it because they think it's passive. Just going to magically go away. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they're underperforming, but they'll get it eventually.
Right, or make up excuses for, you know, they're having a bad week. Anything like that.
And that's fine, but what you need to do, or what a good manager, a good employer would do, is go to that underperformer employee and say, you know what, I've realized that you're underperforming lately. Mm-hmm. This isn't acceptable. Like, make sure that they know that it's not okay, but at the same time, you want to have a conversation. You want to say, so I've noticed that you've been underperforming. If this is somebody that was once performing at a high level, then maybe, you know, maybe, talk to them. Be like, what's going on? Are your goals not clear? Are you frustrated? Is there something in your personal life that's bothering you? Not that they need to tell you, but maybe they just need that, you know, conversation so they could say, you know what, I am going through some things. Maybe they need a day to take some time and clear their head. Maybe they need a couple days, you know, just at least just starting that conversation is get it going. Important. Because just ignoring it isn't going to make it magically better.
And that's the truth. But, you know, maybe set up a timeline with them as far as how you can help get them back to being a performer.
Exactly.
Hold them accountable. You know, they're your employee. You're paying them to do a job. So you want to make sure they're doing the best job possible.
Exactly. And that's another part of being a good manager that we've actually mentioned before is setting goals for your employees and, you know, tracking those goals and holding them accountable when they don't meet those goals. Mm. Because if they're not held accountable, then of course they're going to underperform because they're going to say, well, it's so easy to underperform. Nothing's going to happen.
Right.
There's no repercussions or consequences. So, you know, what's the point of going above and beyond?
Good point.
So definitely, you know, if you have an underperformer, whether they have always been an underperformer and you know that they're, you know, they have a potential to be so much better or if they've kind of dropped off, you know, approach it right away and deal with it.
Sounds good to me.
Good. So, moving on to our job seeker blog. Should you accept a new job or quit your old job first?
Decisions.
I go with the article, you should definitely accept your other job, your new job first before you quit because, as the writer talks about in the article, you never really know how concrete a job offer is. You could, you know, somebody could say, yeah, you have the job, great, and then somehow your background information didn't check out, maybe you had a drug test and didn't work out, and, you know, they rescind that offer, and you already quit, and you're left with no job.
Sure. Yeah, initially I thought, I actually went with the opposite of the article, but as I thought more through it, I understood what they were saying. You always want to make sure you're employed no matter what. You know, as going through the transition period, just make sure you're employed. You don't want to be in a position where, you know, you get screwed over. Something turns out to not be true that you thought was going to be true. So it does make sense. Always be employed, but also always know what your offer entails before making any kind of moves.
Exactly. And I like what the author, Kristen, actually is the author. And she said to make sure that you get that offer in paper.
Yeah.
And so you know for sure because, like we just said, you never know what happens.
Right.
Maybe they're like, oh, you know, oops, we don't really want to fill this position.
Right.
And you've already quit your job. So, you know, sometimes it's not necessary. Sometimes a verbal job offer is enough. They'll be like, okay, so I'm offering this job. When do you want to start? And, you know, that
it might all
seems,
sound great,
yeah.
but I would still hold out for some kind of documentation.
Especially if you feel a little nervous about it and especially if you don't want to be left out in the dust with no job. So definitely accept the position first, get it in writing, and then move on to quitting your job.
Sure, sure. And the best part is once you have that start date set for your new job, that means you can finally have an end date for your current job.
Exciting. Very exciting.
Right. But also factor in 2 weeks. Keep it professional.
Yes.
As long as you want to keep it professional with your current job.
Yeah.
Something to keep in mind.
Definitely. 2 week notice, definitely the professional way to go.
Yes.
Resignation letter, so you're not burning any bridges and everything is all peachy keen. So, our last article, it also has to do with New Year's resolutions, and it talked about the top work resolutions for 2013.
Yeah, I think the article even mentioned the top ones that most people want are salary related, hoping to probably, I'm guessing, make more money instead of a resolution to make less money. But,
and that's
not surprising.
Well, everybody wants to start off that new year. Oh, I want to make more money.
Right, right. But there were a few the article mentioned that I thought were worth looking into as well.
Yeah, the other top ones for 2013 in general, Patrick mentioned getting a raise, gaining leadership skills.
Yeah.
Getting a new job.
Getting a new job.
And increasing work performance, which is great. You know, people are looking for ways to improve themselves. But our author talked about a couple of work resolutions that you can work on yourself that don't pertain to maybe the majority of work resolutions you know, people have.
They're
and
so popular.
I liked get to know your boss better.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be best friends with your boss. But
actually, I would advise against it.
Probably advise against it, right? But, you know, it's perfectly okay to have, more small talk. Have
more communication.
Thank you.
Definitely. So,
more communication.
You know, get to know your boss a little better. Keep up with your industry. That should go without saying. It shouldn't even be a
New Year's resolution. Like you should already be doing that.
I am someone that has somewhat of an issue with New Year's resolutions.
Right, so.
So, I think.
On this article, you have an issue with anyway, so.
Yeah, well, I just have an issue with New Year's resolutions in general. I think, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, I don't want to be a pessimist, but, you know, if you're going to start the new year off, like, oh, I'm going to do all of these things because the new year, I think, you know, you should just do those things regardless. I don't think you need a new year as a motivating factor, but that's just my opinion.
If you really wanted to do it or had the motivation to do it, you would do it at any point.
I mean, the new year kind of gives you this, like, new clean slate feeling.
Right.
Where, you know, you see that it's, like, a new time for you to improve.
Right, blank slate kind of.
Exactly, but, you know, if you want to do these things, you should do them regardless. But that's only my opinion, not going to be on a soapbox here.
Sure.
So definitely keep up with industry news so you can stay up to date. And so you are, you know, a commodity, so you're needed.
Mm-hmm. I think another one was improving your communication skills.
Yeah, with your boss and just in general.
Yeah, sure. Speaking up more, I think even if you're working as part of a team, there's a clear need to have good communication skills when you're working as part of a team. So if you feel you're struggling there, perhaps it's something to improve upon.
Of course. Coming up with new solutions for your job or just for your company in general.
Again, I feel like that's something you should always be looking out for as
Definitely. But, you know, New Year's kind of can give you
there's
some motivation.
Something about this time of the year.
Yeah, people want to work out more. All the normal people that work out don't have anywhere to work out. It's funny. But definitely, you know.
I sense some anger there.
But, you know, start out, come up with new solutions.
Sure.
Something you should do all the time. But, of course, New Year's is a great time to start thinking about that. And, you know, at the end, just for yourself, don't overwork yourself. Don't become a workaholic.
Good point. You can probably be even more productive if you aren't a workaholic.
Exactly.
You're not as drained. And if you're putting in the long hours, the quality of your work is probably not going to be where it should be with your employer.
Definitely. So keep those work resolutions in mind, and of course, keep your own and your own goals in mind for the new year, for your career. That's it for this week's podcast.
Well said.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's version of the Spark Hire podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you have any additional questions or would like to weigh in on the articles we discussed or about New Year's resolutions, head over to the Spark Hire Job Seeker blog at blog.sparkhire.com. and the Human Resources blog at hr.sparkhire.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for fresh content straight in your social media feeds. And don't forget to check back every Monday for a new podcast. That concludes our show for this week, and have a great day.
Have a great week.